Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers took 2 of 3 from the Padres this weekend to lower their magic number to 2. We're going to talk all about this series, how the Dodgers very easily could have swept the series if a couple things had bounced a little bit differently. We're going to talk about Blake Treinen's re-injury. We're going to talk about clinching a playoff spot. And we're going to talk about the Dodgers' annual costume party and some of our big thoughts on that. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, I am Jeff Snyder. My regular co-host is Vince Samperio. It's just me again today. Vince should be back with us tomorrow. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. So let's talk about the Dodgers. Dodgers won 2 out of 3 from the Padres. Just like their last series, they lost the first game of the series and then won the next two. The one game they lost, it very easily could have been a win. They lost in extra innings, 10 innings, and I'm not going to go so far as to say the Dodgers wanted to lose the game, but they pitched Heath Hembree in the 10th inning of a tie game. And so, yeah, the Dodgers didn't hit very well that game. They scored off Mike Clevenger, but then the Padres bullpen was able to shut them down. Those games happen, off days. Still, they went to the extra innings tied and weren't able to push anything across in the top of the 10th. And I think Dave Roberts, if you had a truth serum to give to him, he'd say he really didn't want that game to go 11 innings. Evan Phillips was down. Blake Treinen was unavailable. We'll talk more about that in a minute. They wanted to stay away from Alex Vesia, and they had already gotten to the point where Dave Roberts said that if the game had gone to 11 innings, Vesia would have pitched the 11th. And so I was actually almost surprised. They intentionally walked Manny Machado leading off the 10th inning. First base is open. It's a tie game, so his run doesn't matter anyway. And so they intentionally walked him. I was a little surprised. I thought they might have just let him go at him almost with the hope of him driving in the winning run. They didn't. And ultimately, with, I think, one out, Jake Cronenworth got a base hit to win the game. It was an ugly game with the rain. It was sloppy. And I think the Dodgers were happy to walk out of there that night without anybody being hurt and without having to use Alex Vesia. And so, it would have been nice to clinch the division in San Diego this weekend, but they didn't. But one thing they did clinch was a postseason spot. With their win on Sunday, that wrapped it up. So now the Dodgers, the worst that could possibly happen, if they lose every one of their games the rest of the season and everybody else wins all the games they have to win, worst case scenario, the Dodgers are the second wildcard team. They are in the postseason. And their celebration was almost non-existent. Basically, Dave Roberts said a few words. They said, huzzah, and then they put on their costumes that we'll talk about a little bit later. That was about it. And Andrew Heaney was one that the media asked him about it, and he understands why they didn't celebrate. But as he pointed out, this is his first time making it to the playoffs in his career. He's been in the big leagues he was traded by the Marlins to the Dodgers at the same time as Austin Barnes and Kike Hernandez, and then went to the Angels and debuted shortly after that. I mean, he's been in the league for a long time, but he's been on the Angels and then on the Marlins. Maybe he never did pitch in the – he did start with the Marlins, yeah. But been on the Marlins, been on the Angels, and then last year with the Yankees, he was on the Yankees, and he got DFA'd shortly before the postseason. And so he has never made the playoffs before. So it's a big deal for him. But I don't think he was complaining, because he recognizes there are actual celebrations coming up. And that's what I want to talk about just for a couple minutes. This is the Dodgers' 10th straight year making the postseason. It's going to be 9 out of the last 10 that they've won the division. And so when they clinch the division, which could happen as early as Tuesday, they play in Arizona today, but the Padres are off. And so the Dodgers can only cut that magic number to 1. today. So, but as early as Tuesday, they could clinch the division. They have a fun history of clinching the division in Arizona. I doubt they'll jump at a pool, but I do think they're going to celebrate, and I think they should, because A, you never know when you're going to get this chance again. You have guys like Justin Turner, Clayton Kershaw, you know, their futures are up in the air. They don't know for sure what's going to happen in the future. So you never know if it's going to be your last time. There was a time when, you know, if you think there's guys who make the postseason their first two or three years and then never again. And you never know it's your last time. And so you might as well just celebrate every one of them. And also there are these guys. There's Andrew Heaney. There's Miguel Vargas, a rookie, you know, who they've never made the postseason before. They've never clinched a division before. And so that's a moment that is special for all of them. And I hope that they will, you know, I don't want them going crazy. I want them to do whatever they're comfortable with. But I hope they will appreciate. I do expect them to appreciate. I think Dave Roberts probably understands this concept, this balance, better than most people, because he's been doing it for so long. You know, the winning the division isn't enough for the Dodgers. And I think there will be some people who will criticize them when they celebrate. Oh, you didn't win anything. Obviously, a lot of it will be fans of other teams. Oh, now you could just choke in October again, because those people are super clever and creative. But, you know, yeah. Celebrating an accomplishment, even if it's not the ultimate accomplishment, is a good thing. It's the same reason that when you hit a home run, you do the microphone tap on the helmet as you're going around the bases, because you just accomplished something, even though, you know, you haven't even won the game yet, but you accomplished something, so you celebrate it. That's how it is. And yeah, the bigger the accomplishment, the bigger the celebration. That's why, you know, when the Padres made the postseason in 2020, they had the hugest celebration ever, because they hadn't made the postseason in, you know, a long, long time. So they had to celebrate big. And then they started pretending it wasn't a real season after they got swept by the Dodgers. But in the moment, it was a big accomplishment, so they had a big celebration. And the Dodgers, I hope they have a good celebration when they clinch the division. And I hope they have a solid celebration when they clinch the best record in the National League. And I hope they have a pretty good celebration when they clinch the best record in baseball. And then I hope they have the best celebration ever when they win the World Series. But do not skip the celebrations just because it's not the ultimate goal. And as a fan, do not begrudge them those celebrations. I'm not going to tell you what not to do. But what I'm going to do is say, yeah, they should celebrate. Every accomplishment should be celebrated. This isn't a participation trophy. This is, we did something special. We won this division against, coming in, you know, the Giants were supposed to be good. The Padres were supposed to be good. It was supposed to be really tough competition. What people underestimated was just how darn good the Dodgers were going to be. That's something to be celebrated. So I'm looking forward to that celebration. People humoring David Vasse, pretending to like him in the locker room after they pour champagne on him, all sorts of fun stuff. And yeah, I hope they do it. That's what I'm saying there. And I'm glad they didn't do much for clinching a playoff spot, because yeah, you know what, that is, especially when we've got another celebration coming up this week and they had costumes to get on, you know, that's, I think they did enough. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about Blake Treinen's injury, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the highlights of the series. And then in the last segment, we'll talk about the costume party. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. We really appreciate it. We love talking with you. If you haven't yet, please click the subscribe button wherever you're watching or listening right now. And we would love to hear your comments if you're watching on YouTube. We'd love to see your comments in the comments section. If you're listening on the podcast, hit us up on Twitter. We'll give you all the contact info at the end of the show. But we'd love to hear your thoughts on what we're talking about. I want to talk just a little bit more about the series, but first I want to talk about Blake Treinen. I mentioned that he was unavailable on Friday. Turned out he ended up back on the injured list this weekend with shoulder soreness. He said on Sunday that it's not the capsule, that he had the shoulder capsule injury, that, you know, when he came back, he said that the doctors had recommended surgery. He opted to go the rehab route instead. He said it was a miracle that he was even pitching. Then he pitches two games and is re-injured. He says the capsule is fine and that he thinks it's just soreness from building back up. And he thinks that catching it early will get him back before the postseason so he can contribute in October. I am not going to count on that. I'm not going to even expect that. At this point, anything they get from Blake Treinen in the postseason, I'll consider a bonus. And not that I'm okay with that. It bums me out not having Treinen. I was looking forward to having him. But the Dodgers have like the third best ERA in baseball among bullpens. And that's with Blake Treinen throwing five total innings. You know, they have been very good without Treinen. Now, they have several other relievers hurt right now, too. I'm expecting Gratterall back. I'm expecting Almonte back. Those two guys coming back would be huge. You know, they have Tommy Canley, who is about ready to be activated. And now that Treinen's hurt, there's actually maybe a spot for Canley on the roster, whether that's Heath Hembree getting DFA'd or it's probably Heath Hembree getting DFA'd. Let's be honest. They could send Andre Jackson back down, although that wouldn't open the spot on the 40-man roster for Canley. It would just open one on the 28-man roster. So it's probably Heath Hembree. Who are we kidding? But, you know, whatever it is, Tommy Canley's coming back. He could be good. I think the Dodgers have the weapons to have a really good bullpen in October. It's just kind of the uncertainty of not knowing which weapons those will be. And that's a little bit concerning, worrying a little bit. But for the most part, I don't know. I'm not too stressed about it. I think the offense is going to score a lot of runs in the postseason. And I think the starting pitching and what they have for the bullpen, I think they're going to be okay. There's no guarantees. Anything can happen in the postseason. I don't like that Treinen is injured, but it's okay. And maybe he will surprise us. And it really will be a, you know, only on the IL for the minimum, you know, they backdated it 3 days. So the minimum 12 days and then back with the team and as dominant as ever. It could happen. I'm not going to put my money on it, though. But let's just talk a little bit more about the series. Freddie Freeman was awesome this weekend. He had two hits in the loss on Friday. He had four hits on Saturday, went 4 for 5, drove in, you know, a bunch of their runs. And that was after, if you watch the broadcast, you heard this story. He had the night before that game, he didn't sleep well because they forgot to get a rollaway bed in their hotel. And so his son ended up sleeping in bed with him and his wife. And so he didn't sleep very well. And so he said he wasn't going to have a very good game. And then he went 4 for 5. And then on Sunday, he went 2 for 3. So in all, I think he was, 8 for 12 this weekend, I think. Outstanding. And that capped off a really, really good week. Wouldn't be surprised if he wins another Player of the Week award that should be announced today. Just outstanding. And then, you know, on Sunday, they got a lot of other contributions. Mookie Betts had two hits, including a double. Trey Turner had two hits, including a home run. Oh, Mookie had two doubles. I forgot they were both doubles. Trey had a single and a homer, an RBI single and a homer. Homer was off a position player, but it did give Trey 20 homers on the season, which makes his second straight and second career 2020 season. Which is really cool for him. I think only the third or fourth infielder in Dodger history to get 20-20. Justin Turner had two home runs on Sunday, including a grand slam. The first home run, the solo homer, got the Dodgers on the board. It was off Joe Musgrove, his third homer of the year off Joe Musgrove, who, if you'll recall, I'm sure you, if you're on social media at all, you'll recall because it was all the rage. After JT hit the two homers off Musgrove earlier this year, Musgrove said to reporters after the game that he doesn't consider Justin Turner that much of a threat. And Turner says he doesn't care, doesn't listen, doesn't pay attention to what what's said in any other locker room. But he did hit another homer off Musgrove and then a grand slam on the first pitch that Craig Stammen threw off the injured list. And then it was kind of interesting. JT's grand slam came on the first pitch that Stammen threw of the game. And then Trey Turner's home run came on the first pitch that Will Myers threw. And so I haven't looked this up, but I'm going to assume this is the first time in Major League history that two guys on the same team with the same last name hit the first pitch an opposing reliever had thrown in the game for a home run in the same game. That's I feel pretty confident that that's the first time that's ever happened. Really solid game. Cody Bellinger even had two hits. He had a rally starting base hit and then an infield single. Really solid game, team game. The Dodgers had 12 hits. They also had three walks. So they were on base 15 times. Score, to win 11-2 after winning 8-4 the day before. The Dodgers' run differential is now up to 309 runs, I believe, on the season. The next best, the Yankees, haven't even gotten to 200 yet. Only 8 or 10 teams have finished a season over 300 run differential. The Dodgers have a very, very real chance. They're not going to set the record for run differential, but they have a very good chance to get way high up on that list. I think 335 is some sort of magic number. I forget the details. Is some sort of modern, I don't know. Those Yankees teams used to score a bunch of runs and not allow very many. So, what they're doing this year, it's ridiculous. The Dodgers are now 96-43. They're 53 games above 500. I think I mentioned a week or two ago, the farthest above 500 the Dodgers have ever been is, I believe, 56 games. And so the Dodgers have a very real chance of passing that. They are 95-43, which is 138 games, which means they have 24 games left. So if they went 12-12 the rest of the way, 96-43. So they have 23 games left. So if they went 11-12 the rest of the way, they would set a franchise record in victories with 107. If they actually play pretty well, they could easily top 110 wins this year. Just it's crazy what they're doing. And Vince and I talked about this last week. The thing that excites me the most is it doesn't feel like some crazy hot streak. It doesn't feel like, oh, everybody got hot at the right time. It's just, hey, look, we're playing good baseball. We're playing the way we're capable of, and we're winning most of the time. And what that means to me is it's sustainable. Doesn't mean it will be sustained. I'm not going to make any guarantees like Dave Roberts did about the Dodgers winning the World Series. But for me, I look at what they're doing, and there's no reason to think they can't keep this up in the postseason because nobody's playing out of their head. Even Freddie Freeman going 8-12, it's like, yeah, that, he had a good weekend. But that's not why they won these games. They won the games because the whole team contributed. And yeah, Freddie was a star this weekend. Some weekends it's Mookie Betts. Sometimes it's Trey Turner. Sometimes it's Trace Thompson. They have a ton of guys who have been the star at different times. And that's the part that's sustainable. When you have so many good players, it's just, I think they have a really good chance of keeping this up through October and through November 1st through 5th, whenever the World Series ends. I feel good about it. As good as you can feel right now. It's always going to be nerve-wracking when they go to the postseason. Any team can get hot. Obviously the Mets have good pitching in a short series. Even the Brewers, if they end up in the postseason, they with Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff, it's like, yeah, that's a scary team in a short series. I feel good. I think the Dodgers are better than all those teams. But anything can happen in the postseason. But as good as I can feel on September 12th is how good I feel right now about the way this team is playing and their potential. I think that's all I have to say about the weekend series. It was a really fun series to watch after Friday. Friday's game was ugly. Not just the loss, just playing in the rain and the dangerous conditions. You're constantly worried about guys getting hurt. Didn't care much for it. But Saturday and Sunday, a lot of fun to watch. Helped that the Dodgers won. And now the Dodgers head to Arizona for a three-game series there. Like I said, they could clinch the division. And then they go 3 in San Francisco before coming back home for a weird 5-game series with the Diamondbacks. And then Albert Pujols and co. come to town in a couple weekends. Pujols is now at 697 home runs. He passed A-Rod this weekend, which is exciting. There's a very real chance he could hit number 700 at Dodger Stadium, which would be pretty cool. Not as cool as him hitting it before they get to Dodger Stadium and then him not doing anything good at Dodger Stadium. But it'll be good to see Uncle Albert again anyway. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about the Dodgers costume party. I'm not going to get deep in depth analyzing the different costumes, but I got a lot of stuff to say about it. It was fun. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right, I am back for one last segment. I want to thank you all again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. It really does mean a lot to us. We love talking Dodgers with you and hearing from you. I will give you all our contact info at the end of the episode so you can reach out to us in any way you want. Or you can, if you're watching on YouTube, just comment in the section right now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. So last thing I want to talk about is the Dodgers did their costume party. And you know, I need to see more pictures, more high resolution pictures to figure out which costumes are my favorites. There's some that, you know, even figuring out, I wish they would make available a super high definition that you can zoom in on the big team picture, see everybody's face with captions saying, you know, some of the guys have masks on. I don't know who is who, who's wearing what. And I would love some sort of captions on what they're dressed as. Apparently, Alex Vesey and Tony Gonsolin are dressed as something from SpongeBob SquarePants. I missed the SpongeBob era. I don't know when SpongeBob was popular. It might have even been people my age who liked it. I think it was mostly people a little bit younger than me. But I do know that I have never seen a single minute of SpongeBob. But Gonsolin and Vesia's costumes look cool, and I'm not going to criticize them just because I didn't know what they were. I had to Google it, but a lot of people seem to like them, and they're cool, and they're funny, and those guys definitely have personality, so I like that. A couple things that jumped out at me. I loved that Andre Jackson was included in the Chippendales group with Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger, and Joey Gallo. You know, JT and Belly, obviously friends, teammates for a long time. Gallo and Bellinger are longtime friends. They were excited to be teammates. Andre Jackson just got called up back up to the majors the other day. And to be included with, you know, Justin Turner, I know they joked that Austin Barnes is the captain. Justin Turner is maybe the actual captain of this team. You've got Turner, you've got Kershaw there, the guys providing the veteran leadership of longtime Dodgers. And so for Justin Turner to include Andre Jackson in that, it was cool. And my daughter pointed out that it didn't hurt that Andre Jackson is a very good looking man. I didn't realize that until my daughter told me, but these are the things I learned on Sunday. Another thing that jumped out at me, Clayton Kershaw and Tyler Anderson. Imagine reading this article in 2017. Last night, Clayton Kershaw stood on the mound in Dodger Stadium waiting to throw the first pitch of the team's game against the Rockies. The home plate umpire told him to wait, however. That's because Rockies starter Tyler Anderson had taken a couple extra pitches in the bullpen before the game and was walking along the first baseline toward the Rockies' dugout. Anderson soon made it to the dugout and the game began. It ended with the Dodgers win and he had another excellent performance from Kershaw, but even 3 hours later, he was not in a good mood about the first inning delay. Kershaw said, "That was one of the more disrespectful things I've been a part of in a game. Really didn't appreciate that. The game starts at 7:10. It started at 7:10 here for a long time. Go around or finish earlier, but that wasn't appreciated for sure. I'm not going to say any more or I'll get in trouble." Now imagine telling Clayton Kershaw and Tyler Anderson, "Hey, guess what? In 5.5 years, you guys are going to dress up in Top Gun costumes together." I don't think they would have believed you, but that's what they did on Sunday. Kershaw and Anderson have become like really good buddies. It's one of the more surprising storylines just because, you know, Kershaw hasn't had beef with very many guys in his career. The only two I can think of are Tyler Anderson and Gerardo Parra. And, you know, yet for somehow, one of the two guys he's had beef with over the years is now like his best friend on the team. And I think that's fun. And like I said, I wouldn't predict it back in 2017, but I'd love to see it on Sunday. Another one that I love to see, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. They have become so close, such good friends, such good teammates, you know, inspiring each other, lifting each other, seeing each other work. And they dressed up. Mookie dressed as Tiger Woods and Freddie dressed as Steve Williams, Tiger's caddy. And it was, it was awesome for a lot of reasons. Something about, you know, Tiger Woods is a different kind of golfer in that he is like, he's better built. When Tiger was at his peak, he was bigger and stronger than a lot of the guys he was golfing with. You know, golf used to be a sport where you don't got to be in great physical condition necessarily to enjoy it. And Tiger kind of smash that. He's like, no, I'm Tiger Woods. I am built. And so then to see Mookie, who is in very good shape, but he's just a tiny little guy next to Freddie Freeman. And so I don't know, something about the picture of Tiger Woods' caddy being 8 inches taller than him made me laugh. But yeah, I love that Mookie and Freddie have developed this friendship, and something about these costumes. It's like, oh, seeing who the buddies are. And it's a lot of fun. One that really made me laugh was Dustin May's costume. He just strapped a couple loaves of bread over his shoulder and called himself the Gingerbread Man. Get it? Red hair and then bread. Gingerbread Man. And you remember a couple of years ago, Dustin May had like the most intricate Pennywise costume, the creepy looking clown costume. It was so detailed and time consuming and intense. And then this year he just throws some bread over his shoulder. So yeah, gingerbread. It's like I stole this idea from somebody. I went to a Halloween costume party and I just put a gift tag on my chest that said "To women from God." Get it? God's gift to women. Ha ha ha. I mean, that was Dustin May was basically the equivalent of that. And for some reason, with the contrast to his really detailed costume from a couple of years ago, and then doing that lame-o cop-out one, it made me laugh. We noticed during the game that Andrew Heaney and Chris Taylor had both shaved. Actually, I noticed Andrew Heaney on Saturday just sitting in the dugout that he had shaved. His costume, I don't even know. In fact, I still don't know what Andrew Heaney's costume was. If you've seen the picture, you know what he was dressed as. I'm sure it's a pop culture reference I just don't get. So comment below in YouTube or tweet at me. Tell me what he was dressed as. It looked like a cool costume. And for whatever reason, he needed to be clean shaven for it. I don't know what it was. Chris Taylor was part of a group that did the Sandlot. That, you know, he was Squints. He looked really good as Squints. Gavin Lux was a great Smalls. Miguel Vargas is Benny the Jet Rodriguez, which was funny because, and maybe that was the inspiration for the group costume, because a lot of people have said that Vargas looks like Benny the Jet anyway, the adult version. Hanser Alberto was James Earl Jones's character from the movie. There was somebody in a dog costume that said Hercules on it, and I've heard that it was maybe Will Smith in the dog costume. I don't know for sure. There were actually two people in that group costume that I didn't recognize. The guy playing Ham, the catcher, don't know who that was. And then the other guy in the back, I don't know who that was either. So if you guys know who those were, please tell me. I'm sure the information is out there, and I'm sure it's names that I've heard, but I just don't know the faces because I don't think they were players. They're just people on the staff or whatever. So you know, a lot of fun. This costume thing is fun. I really like that the Dodgers do this. In the past, the Dodgers and other teams did, you know, they would do a rookie hazing thing where one road trip a year, all the rookies would have to dress. And it was usually cheerleader costumes or some other emasculating thing. And at some point along the line, the Dodgers said, you know what, how about instead of hazing the rookies, why don't we all just dress up together in fun costumes and just have a good time? And I love that. And I don't know whose idea it was, but whoever it was, I think it's great. And I love, this is something that nobody's laughing at any one person. It's all laughing at ourselves, laughing at each other. It's a lot of fun, and I love it. One of the many things I love about this team. And yeah, it was good. I think that's about all I have to say. Like I said, Dodgers had a great weekend. They're going to Arizona now. It should be clinching this week. We'll have some clinch talk more later this week. We will see how they celebrate. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, when it happens. They won't face Zach Gallen this time. This series, he pitched on Sunday. He actually had his scoreless streak snapped at 44 and a third innings. So Oral Hershiser's record is safe. And then the Dodgers, I'm sure they'll face Gallen next week in L.A. simply because they play 5 games with the Diamondbacks. And so chances are they're going to face all their starters. But this time they'll miss Gallen, which is maybe a good thing. Diamondbacks, it should be an interesting series because the Diamondbacks are actually pretty good this year. And that's something that I don't think anybody really expected, and it's gone kind of quiet because they've been so far, they haven't had a chance in the division for a long time. The Diamondbacks are 65 and 73 now. That's roughly the same record as the Giants, I believe. Let's see. Pull up my standings real quick. And the standings in the National League West. The Diamondbacks are only half a game behind the Giants. And so, I mean, they're having a solid season. The Dodgers are a better team. The Dodgers should win the series. They should sweep the series realistically. You know, the Dodgers have a 310 run differential. D-backs have a negative 12. Tells you a lot. But they're a solid team on the, you know, they're an up-and-coming team, so it should be a fun series and hopefully a clinching series. With that said, that's about all I have to say for today. Thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, we'd love if you add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, please tell them about the show. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. The DMs are open in all of those places, or you can add us anytime you want. You can also email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail or a text message at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.